Of course, Brian Flores has been named the officially named the head football coach as of yesterday. We watched his press conference. We talked about it here on the air. Cameron Wolf, friend of the program, covers the Dolphins, is with us to digest everything now that everything's been official, and he is with us right now. Cameron, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Cameron.
Doing great. Doing great. How are you guys?
Great.
Good. All right. So it was probably the worst-kept secret in the NFL while the playoffs were going on that Brian Flores was going to be the head coach of the Dolphins. It was made official. He had his press conference yesterday. The thing that caught all of our eyes this morning were the details of the contract. I believe of all the new coaches, he's the only one to get a five-year deal instead of four and an option. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I thought that was a great job by his agent and his team out there, making sure they get, you know, all their worth. But I thought that was really a sign from the Dolphins that, hey, we're going to keep true to our word. He's going into a situation where it's a rebuild. There's no secret that they're probably going to be bad next year. And he probably also saw what happened in Arizona with Steve Wilkes and what happened in Denver with Vance Joseph, with them getting 1 and 2 years, you know, and you have to worry about your stability as a coach. So the best way to ensure that you'll be okay as far as security is to make sure the money matches up. So I'm sure that was a contingency for him and his team to say, hey, if we're going to take on this this big rebuild, then we want to make sure that we're paid to see it, you know, more than just, you know, 3 or 4 years.
Cameron, last couple of years with Gase, to me it was like kind of like night and day yesterday when Brian Flores was speaking, and I think in a way that made people feel more comfortable, at least, you know, simpler, or just talking about not so much X's and O's, but about how he talked about personalities, and yes, there's going to be pain, but it sounded more genuine. Am I off base there?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think the biggest thing that I kind of took away from it, and Steve Ross kind of described it a little bit, is that they felt like, you know, we're not going to look for scheme fit, offensive mind, you know. And Ross said that, you know, he went away from the trend of finding the next Sean McVay that it seems like every team is doing. And instead he said, hey, I just want to find somebody to lead this team and the best leader. And I think, you know, many people I've talked to about finding a new head coach, they say more than anything it's about finding a CEO like you would of any business. And yeah, there may be CEOs who are really good at creating ideas and strategies, but ultimately you've got to run the people in your organization. You got to make sure that everything checks out. You got to make sure the culture fits. You got to make sure when chaos happens, how do you respond to that? And I think that that was their pick this year. They could have easily decided to hire a quarterback whisperer to replace the quarterback whisperer they just fired in Gase. But they said, you know what, we're going in a different direction. We're going to try to do something different. So let's pick somebody different than we normally would.
So at the end of the day, was Gase a bad leader? Because that's the first thing I thought when I heard that comment yesterday. And I remember, you know, Gase cleared out a locker room with guys that he thought was a bad fit. Maybe they shouldn't have gotten rid of that talent. Maybe a better leader could have handled that. Was that what you got out of that?
I feel like some of that's fair. I feel like the biggest thing is that Adam Gase's best skill set was his ability to call plays. And his best skill set, the best thing he brought to the team was his scheme. So I think that, you know, I don't want to say that he didn't have any leadership abilities, because you can't be a coach at any level without having some ability to lead. But I think that wasn't his biggest strength. I think that he wanted to stay on his side of the ball, and he wanted to focus on getting the most out of the quarterback, getting the most out of the offense, and making sure the numbers on the field lined up to what he wanted. And I think with Flores, you're going to find a guy who figures that scheme is less important than the players. We're going to make sure the players buy into what we're selling here, and they play hard, and the team element's important. But I'm not going to sacrifice, you know, alienate anybody because it's, you know, they don't fit what I'm trying to do.
What kind of input do you think, Cameron, that Flores is going to have defensively? Look, I know that he'll probably, I think on the surface, he would do a very good job. But all that being said, who's going to quarterback this team? It's not going to be Tannehill. It's not going to be Osweiler. I mean, right. Stephen Ross, he's not going to throw David Fales out there, is he? And just say, you know, do what you can with this guy for a couple of years, and then we'll go after Trevor Lawrence or somebody like that. I hope that's not the case for this coach.
I hope, too. I got to watch this team for 16 games next year. So I hope there's at least something watchable. But yeah, I think that's a question. I'm actually writing a story about that in the coming days about where they are with the quarterback path. You know, Chris Greer talked to us yesterday, some reporters off to the side, and there was a couple quarterback nuggets in there. And one was that, you know, he said they haven't made a final decision on Ryan Tannehill yet, but he wouldn't dismiss the idea that, hey, he's not coming back. So I think that's something we've reported throughout, that, hey, the expectation is Ryan Tannehill will not be the starting quarterback next year. They want to give the coaching staff, when they're officially hired, a chance to evaluate the roster and evaluate him. But the expectation is he'll be released or traded this offseason. And then as far as this year, I know that, you know, there's been a lot of talk about tanking. Chris Greer said that he wouldn't be opposed to selecting a quarterback in this upcoming draft, 2019 draft. And he said that he was willing and open to falling in love, quote unquote, with a quarterback. He mentioned that they fell in love with two quarterbacks last year, but they were selected before the Dolphins picked. And there were four, obviously, up there with Baker Mayfield, you know, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, and Josh Rosen. So you can kind of take your pick of whoever they like. But of those four, two of those they fell in love with and probably would have seriously considered picking if they were available. And he said, you know, he's willing to go through that process again. So I wouldn't be shocked if they end up drafting a quarterback this year. I think that, you know, they have to draft their franchise quarterback this year or next year. So it's about how they look at the process and say, you know, is there a guy out there we love, or do we just want to have a stopgap in there and wait till 2020 where we can find the guy that, you know, really fits what we're trying to do long-term.
Cameron Wolf with us, Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. You just answered my next question, so it brings an interesting development here. So let's say they do have a quarterback fall to them in the draft, and I'm of the opinion that the quarterbacks aren't that great this year, as you just alluded to. 2020 might be the better year. Do you think they would draft 2 years in a row at the quarterback position? Or if they draft one in 2019, that's it. That's the guy they're going to ride with for the next 4 years.
Right, right. I think that's definitely a viable idea. And honestly, if I was the GM of the Dolphins, one, I'd be paid a lot more money. But two, I would definitely, you know, consider that, because that's the one position that can absolutely change the direction of your franchise. And, you know, there's the old adage that you could draft a quarterback every year because, you know, that position weighs heavily more than any other spot. So they haven't drafted a quarterback before the seventh round over the last 7 years since Ryan Tannehill's been the quarterback. So I think that, you know, this would be a good time to say, hey, maybe we go to back-to-back. I know about 5 or 6 years ago, Washington did that with Kirk Cousins and RG3, and you never know how it worked out, and eventually Kirk Cousins became the guy in Washington, and he was the lower-drafted guy. So I definitely don't think it would be a bad idea if you say, hey, we don't love anybody in the first round, maybe you draft somebody in the second or third round here and let him compete with a veteran, and if he wins the job, then, hey, that's an extra quarterback you can develop and you know, have compete in your room. But it doesn't really dissuade you from drafting again next year. So I definitely think that's a viable option, and, you know, I'm sure they'll consider it.
I'm wondering how Dolphin fans feel. Would Ross ever consider Greer, you know, going, you know, the Derek Carr route that way, trying to make a deal with the Raiders doing that? Foles, other options? Would they go that route?
I don't think so, honestly. I think that they want to rebuild it from ground. And I think they've talked a lot about the Band-Aid fixes or the, you know, the solid or average fixes that, you know, may be tantalizing to the eye initially, but eventually have their downfalls. So I think that all of those moves, you know, may be positive for, you know, one or two steps, but I don't think there's anybody on the market that's willing to be traded that you can say, hey, this guy's going to change our franchise. And I think that's what they're looking for. They're looking for their Patrick Mahomes, their guy who can, you know, elevate a team from mediocrity to potentially competing for a championship every year. So I don't expect them, you know, to be involved with a Derek Carr or a Matthew Stafford or a Joe Flacco. Any of these guys who, you know, are good enough to be one of your top 32 quarterbacks, but haven't proven to be good enough to, you know, bring a team a championship.
So could you see that? You know, could you see them taking Daniel Jones, Shea Patterson, Rippon out of Boise State? You could see one of those three being drafted by the Dolphins?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, especially the latter two you mentioned, they're probably more second day or even third day picks. I definitely could see them going that route. You know, they're in a position now where they need to add competition to the room. And you don't know who's going to start. So if you draft a quarterback in the third round, if he ends up starting with you, you could still draft one in the first round next year and be happy that you have your number one and number two quarterbacks for the future. So I definitely could see them drafting one of those guys you mentioned, a Will Greer out of West Virginia. I could see something like that, you know, appealing to them, you know, if it doesn't happen in the first round, you know, in the second or third.
Well, you never know. I mean, every once in a while, even a six-rounder will do okay in this league. talking with Cameron Wolf, talking about the Dolphins with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Final question for me. We spent all this time talking about the offense and what to do at quarterback because it's so important. But do you see maybe Brian Flores putting an emphasis on defense first? I think some of these coaches that come from that side of the ball might have a little pride and say, look, I'm a linebackers coach. I'm coming in here. I want my defense to look pretty good first before we figure out what's going on with the offense, particularly if our quarterback that we love isn't going to be around for 2 years. Do you see him building the defense first?
Yeah, I definitely think they will. I think one thing to sort of look at this roster and see what's there, you know, and what's here to stay is that they have more pieces to build around on that defense already here than offense. So I think the defense is closer to being a playoff caliber side of the ball than the offense is. So, you know, you've got to rebuild that defensive line, and I think that'll be a priority for them, you know, this draft period. So I think that's what you'll see done by Brian Flores, figuring out who to bring in to rush the passer to stop the run and rebuilding that defensive line and kind of leaning on that defensive back crew and trying to develop them with Xavier Howard and Minkah Fitzpatrick. So I definitely think they will spend, you know, two, maybe three picks this year. I'm trying to fix, you know, that front seven.
All right, Cameron, as always, thanks for coming on. And we want to talk some Dolphins. Appreciate it. Nice job.
Thanks, okay. Cameron.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Cameron Wolf, covers the Dolphins for ESPN. A lot of thoughts on what's going on there. Brian Flores, the new head coach.